if you're conscious of it and you're achieving what you want and you're tapping into that energy consciously just to win a sport, then it could be healthy. But if you're conscious of it, if you're doing it unconsciously now where it's driving you and it's impacting negatively in all other areas of your life, then it's obviously not a healthy situation.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome everyone to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Today, I got my man Martin on here. I'm so excited to have you. We're going to cover some really amazing stuff today. So buckle in. How are you, Martin?
I'm fantastic, brother. Thank you for having me on your show. Really excited to share with you and your audience today.
Well, you have so much experience and so much breadth of knowledge. It's pretty impressive. So I'm going to hit you with one of the many things we've talked about in our previous discussion, and that is that you're an NLP practitioner. So that's amazing, right? So letting go of fear, letting go of sadness, anxiety, and limiting beliefs, I would think you would agree is one of the keys to happiness. Would you agree to that?
100%. When you are carrying those negative emotions around, when you're unconsciously carrying those negative emotions, is typically what holds us back from success in all areas of our life, from our relationships, our business, marriages, friendships, you name it. It's one of those negative emotions holding us back.
So within the first 20 seconds, Martin had a mic drop moment. I don't know if you heard him say, he corrected himself and he said, it's the unconscious limiting beliefs negatively affect every area of your life. Can you speak a little bit more to that, Martin?
So for instance, right, this just came up yesterday. I want to talk about marriage, right? A little bit on relationships. So there was a post on Instagram that was talking about relationships or something and toxic relationships. As you know, I've been married 21 years. So children learn what they live, right? So we adapt our behaviors, we adapt our personalities and our true behaviors from the ages of 0 to 5, as you know, right? And children learn what they live. So if you live in an environment as a child, you live in an environment where your dad is abusive to your mom, unconsciously, we pick up those cues. This is all happening unconsciously. We pick up those cues, and that's the relationship that we want to model unconsciously in our adult life. So some women ask themselves, well, why am I constantly in a toxic relationship? It's because somewhere along the line, you believe that's the right type of relationship you should be in, because you pick that up somewhere at home, either from mom or from dad. And you have to work with a coach, an NLP practitioner, someone that's certified in the practice that can help you let go of those limiting beliefs. The first thing to recovery is knowing that you have an issue, right? What do they tell you when you go to the AA? You got to admit that you have a problem. So the first and most important thing is knowing, holy crap, that's right, I learned this from mom. Or how many of us had heard, I grew up poor, right? Hearing this, Brad, rich people are bad. I grew up in New York City. Rich people live all in Park Avenue in those penthouses, nice, beautiful penthouses. We're down here in the ghetto and they live up there and we work for them. And there was this paint picture that was projected onto me without me having any say in that. This is what I call generational curses, that which are limiting beliefs that are passed down from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. And until you do the work on yourself, and you realize with someone like yourself or like myself, and you realize, holy crap, this is not my belief. This is what I was taught. Rich people are not bad. Rich people are good. They're the ones that fund hospitals. They're the ones that do all these great things. Without their tax dollars, there's no new roads. There's no this, there's no that. So that's just one of the few examples of why it's important to understand where these limiting beliefs come from.
Man, you were speaking my language here, Martin. This stuff is amazing. So can you imagine how many people in this world don't understand that? And it's not their fault, because I didn't understand that for 47 years of my life, right? And I just put up on the screen, your subconscious mind controls your behavior. So 95% of your behavior in a given day is controlled by your subconscious mind. The things that Martin was just talking about, if you witness something in your childhood, if someone's mean to you, if you don't get what you want in terms of love or affection or your needs met, you come up with these unconscious thoughts that something's wrong with me. I'm not good enough. Rich people are bad. So therefore, I don't want to be rich because then I'll be bad. All of these behaviors drive our thoughts. And so people are wondering why they have a shitty marriage and why they're overweight and why they can't make any money. And it's not their fault. Like literally, it's not their fault. It comes from childhood programming.
Yes. So I'll share a quick story with you. As a child, I grew up in the Dominican Republic, right? So I was born here in the United States. My mom came pregnant with me here to the US. And then she sent me back home to the Dominican Republic because she had nothing. She was getting herself stabilized here. And I remember my dad had me as a very young guy in his early 20s. And my dad was a player. My dad was this playboy guy. May he rest in peace, my dad, bless his soul. I remember him taking me from one girlfriend that he had, right? Check this out. Up the block, he lived with one woman in one house with my grandmother. And up the block to the right in DR, he had another woman pregnant. Okay. This is the stuff I learned about being a man at a very young age. I tell my younger brother now, like, hey, this is what dad used to do. I used to see with your mom. I used to see dad with your mom, had my other brother's mom, and this is the stuff I used to do. And early in my teenage years and my early adult life as a man, I had to undo all that crap. I had to undo all that. I had a lot of work to do. I had to undo all of that shit that, hey, this is what a real man looks like. Because that's what I saw my dad doing.
Yeah, amazing. Congratulations for doing the work and not just continuing, like you said, the multi-generational curse. So Martin, as an NLP practitioner, can you share with the listeners a practical NLP technique that they can start using today to improve their mental state, either happiness and joy?
One of the most powerful tools is visualization, right? So something simple, of course, you can do this with, usually it's done with a practitioner walking you through this. But one thing that's really cool and a really neat exercise to do is close your eyes in the mornings, know what you want. So I have a formula, which is decide, commit, take massive action, and that equals success. So decide on what you want, then commit to that decision you made, but really commit, do whatever it takes to get there, and then take massive action, and that leads to success. So once you know what it is that you want, get a clear picture of what it is that you want. Write it down somewhere. What is it that I want? What does a beautiful future look like for me? Is it a marriage? Is it in business? Is it making a certain amount of dollars? Is it driving a certain car? What is that? And one really good practice is close your eyes. Imagine yourself going into a movie theater, in the back of a movie theater, and then open up a big movie screen and see yourself doing those things. So as a third person, you're watching the movie and you're seeing yourself actually achieving those things. So making the money, driving the car, having the happy family, hanging out with your kids. See yourself doing those things for a few seconds, 30, 40 seconds as a third party, and then go into the screen and then go into the movie as if it were yourself. You're actually seeing and hearing it yourself inside of the movie. This is one really very helpful and very powerful strategy, you see, because our unconscious minds do not know or cannot tell the difference from reality or what's not real when it comes to the mind. What'll happen is you'll start going towards those things. You'll start attracting those things and you'll start taking actions daily unconsciously that will get you closer to that thing. But that's a habit and that's a practice and it's a discipline that people have to discipline themselves to do every day or as often as they can.
I love it. The power manifestation. It's something I need to do more in my life because I believe it. I can remember playing golf as a kid and going to tournaments. And my buddy's dad was kind of into psychology. And he's like, just envision your shot before you hit it. And back then, I'm like, what does this old guy know? Like, he has no idea. And, you know, fast forward years later, and I heard Jack Nicklaus, who people argue whether he was a greater or Tiger. I think Tiger has more skills, but Jack has more wins. So whatever, we'll debate that another day. So Jack Nicklaus said he would never hit a putt until he saw in his head a movie of the putt going in the hole. And I was like, whoa, I should have taken that advice from my buddy's dad years ago. And now I'm doing that more and more. And as I'm building this coaching company, I've just brought on a partner. And it's one of the things we're doing. We're going to be setting our goals. And then once we get our goals, every single night we've committed to like just not taking 20 minutes or an hour, but just 5 minutes, just 3 minutes, picturing what it's like. Because at this point in my life, I'm just trying to make a massive impact. I want people to know, and you've already said it, why are people struggling? People are struggling in this world. It's most of our suffering is self-inflicted. And Martin, it's the exact reason why you opened the show. It's because they have limiting beliefs that are locked in from their childhood programming and they don't know. They go to this therapist every week and the therapist wants to talk about their conscious thinking and their symptoms and what they're doing. But the only way you truly fix any mental issue is to go to the source of the pain. And in your case, the pain was you growing up as a child, seeing what your dad did. For someone else, it may be someone's father drank. I have clients that their parents were always gone working. And guess what? They came to me with the issue. They're always working, even though they have a lot of money, because they just repeat the same thing over and over. Because like you said, it's familiar, it's safe, right?
100%. I just came from a conference I just did about a week ago. And one thing that was so powerful I took away from this conference was live in the future you. And I'm like, whoa, that's what we're talking about, right? What's the future you, right? Like, hey, Napoleon Hill says in Think and Grow Rich, fake it something to fake it till you make it, right? Like you got to live, act as if. I'll share this with you. Mike Tyson, keynote speaker, Tom Brady, keynote speaker, all this three-day event. And the other keynote speaker was Mike Gadara, Something Hospitality, the author of Undeniable, had the number one restaurant in the world, all top of their game in their respective fields. All these guys, right? We're talking about high-level guys. One key thing I took away, spent thousands of dollars to go there, right? Flight, everything. One thing I took away, all of them, and they all spoke, by the way, three different days. They weren't like together on stage. These were day one, day two, day three. One thing I took away, sir, each and every one of them, you know what they said? They got to the top and they do? They've brainwashed themselves. That they visualize themselves as being the best. Every single one of them. Mike Tyson, I don't know if you've seen Mike Tyson's. Mike Tyson's very wise. Mike Tyson has turned into this really wise man as an old guy now, right? And if you remember Iron Mike back in the days, he was this freaking monster, right? Remember Mike, you see that anger in him. You see that beast in him. And for a moment, someone asked him a question in the audience. And for a moment, we saw that savage come out. And someone asked him, hey, Mike, how do you reach to the top of something to this day? How do you reach to the top of the game and just Iron Mike and you get that savage, that monster? And you know his answer. You could see it in his eyes. He says, because I'm a savage. You could see him. I could relate because I literally saw in his eyes him going back to when he was 14, 15. And his first coach that believed in him told him, you're a savage. I could see it in his eyes. He's like, I'm just freaking savage. I'll destroy you. And then he was like, but I'm not that anymore. But this was the mindset that he had to create in his head to be who he was. And same thing for Tom Brady. Tom Brady said something to the effect of every year he would win a 7 Super Bowls, right? Every year he won a Super Bowl, it was next season, I'm back at the bottom. He would work just as hard as if he didn't have a spot in the team because he had to earn his spot in the team. So it was that vision of that future self of himself. I'm back at the bottom and I'm going to work just as hard. That's how a guy plays till he's 45 years old.
You know who else said they were the greatest of all time from a very early age is Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali, baby. Muhammad Ali. That's right.
So, Martin, do you think Tom Brady is a happy, fulfilled guy?
That's a good question. You know, I don't know the guy personally. I know that he's had some issues in his marriage. They didn't touch on that. I can speak on his performance as an athlete. As an athlete, I can tell that as an athlete, I don't know as a human being because I don't know the guy, right? Personally, I'm not hanging out with him, spending time with him. But I can tell by the way he answered because I was there live with him. Body language, 55% of communication is body language. Reading his body language, seeing his eyes, his tone, his words, that the guy is just competitive monster. I could tell you that in the sport, he is super competitive and super fulfilled when he's doing that. I can't say about any other areas of his life.
So I agree with you, and I have a lot of respect for the guy. He's the greatest of all time, right? But why is he such a competitor? I have my theory on this, and it could be completely wrong, but my theory is he's a competitor because he's trying to prove something. He didn't feel enough based on something that happened in his, just like you said at the beginning of this call, he had some limiting beliefs and he had to prove something, and damn, did he prove something. But if you remember after the Atlanta Super Bowl that or beating Atlanta when they came back, that miraculous second half that he put on the board, he had a video that launched within 2 minutes of that coming out, proving all of his doubters. If you had a guy with unconditional self-love and felt he was enough, would he have had to get a video out within 2 minutes proving everyone he was wrong? And so my theory, and again, I don't know the guy either, is that he had to prove something. Tiger Woods had something to prove. He had a lot of childhood programming and stress from his dad and his mom. I don't know if you've watched that documentary, but a lot of stuff. So I think a lot of top tier athletes are driven by this need to prove something. And entrepreneurs for that matter. That was me. Like, I got to go make a lot of money because I don't feel worthy and it's going to bring me happiness and worth. What do you think about that?
So that's really good point you're bringing up, right? Because yes, 100%. This was one of the questions. This was one of the things that was asked because the person hosting the event's a great interviewer. Great. He asked great questions. Then he asked this question, was there something you had to prove, right? Who's your enemy, right? Because sometimes what fuels us is our enemy. So if you're that person, if you looked at the Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, right? Michael Jordan, super competitive. He would make up enemies in his head. He would make up that someone said something to go on the court. That's what would fire him. But these guys just figure out how to create that fire and that psyche to win at their respective sports. Now, do I think it's a positive thing personally or a negative thing? I don't know. It depends, right? Hey, man, you're playing to win a sport. You don't play to lose something. And, you know, I never went that deep, but you're giving me a different perspective on it.
Yeah. Maybe it's not positive or negative. Maybe it just is.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, all of these guys at the top level, Michael Jordan, I mean, Godara, number one restaurant in the world. I mean, this guy worked tirelessly. He has a bestseller book and Wall Street Journal bestseller book. I just read it too last month. And I mean, all of these guys, they all have this enemy or this thing that drove them, this fire that just drove them to do just unbelievable things. Look at Kobe Bryant. Guy used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning in the gym. I don't know his story completely, the whole story, but I mean, wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning if you don't have this driving him, right? Where's that coming from? Where's that commitment, that discipline? But, you know, like you said, you were working hard because you were trying to make money. You were trying to prove something. It depends. Like you said, it just is. It could be just is. It could just be not. And then this is just my personal opinion. I think if you're achieving what you want, if you're conscious of it and you're achieving what you want and you're tapping into that energy consciously just to win a sport, then it could be healthy. But if you're conscious of it, if you're doing it unconsciously now where it's driving you and it's impacting negatively in all other areas of your life, then it's obviously not a healthy situation.
Yeah. So I'm going to make a quick comment about Michael Jordan, then I'll move on to Tiger Woods and I'm going to ask you about your marriage. Michael Jordan said in the last 20 years that he had depression. Greatest basketball player of all time. And he was depressed. Tiger Woods, the very thing that fueled Tiger Woods was what destroyed everything else in his life. He felt he wasn't enough, given the way that his mother and father cheated. And talk about infidelity, major infidelity. So what did he have to do? He had to prove himself. So in golf, it worked really well for him. But in his personal life, it was a disaster. He was having sex with all kinds of people, right? Because why? Every new person that he had sex with was, this person loves me. She's going to save me like my mother and father couldn't do. So it's complicated stuff, right? Speaking of marriages, you've been married for 21 years. So give us a nugget on how have you been able to maintain a relationship with your wife, thriving a relationship while having a thriving business as well.
I got to tell you, hasn't always been easy. And I've had my own limiting beliefs and my own stories, and I have my own projections and my own things projected onto me. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's easy. What I can tell you is the one thing I've done is I've gone and done the work, right? I've been lucky, man. I've been lucky. I've been blessed, Brad, to have learned, read many hundreds of books, been around people like Tony Robbins and learned this stuff about coming from my childhood and whoa, oh, that's why I do that. Holy shit. I'm self-sabotaging. I'm doing this to myself. You know what I mean? So one thing I can say is do the work and understand where your crap is, right? My saying is, my wife and I always have this discussion is, I can't be the best version of the best husband I can to you or the best father I can to this family unless I'm good first. And that sounds a little bit selfish, but I have to be fulfilled. I can't give what I don't have. So my wife and I have gotten to the point now that we know what we need. I understand her. I understand what she needs. I give her her space. She knows what I need for me to come back and be the best husband I can be. I'll give you an example of what it was in the early days versus what it is now. As a young man, I'm 45, right? So 21 years of marriage. We've been together 27 years. Actually, because my oldest is 27, right? 27 years. And in the early days, I'm an extrovert. I get my energy from being around. I like my alone time, but mostly I like to be around people and talking and having conversations and having good, healthy conversations. My wife gets her energy from being alone. In the early days, I would go to my wife and say, she want to be left alone because she needs her energy. And I'm an extrovert. And I would be like, what's wrong? Why you don't want to talk? Why you don't want to be with me? Not understanding that she needed to recharge. And that would create a lot of problems, Brad, a lot of fights. Today, I understand when we wake up in the morning, I'm going my way. Good morning, baby. Give her a kiss. I'm up before her, an hour before her. I give her a kiss and I go do my morning ritual, meditate my things. She leaves me alone. She knows this is what I need to start my day right. And she goes downstairs, sits on the sofa for her 40 minutes with her cup of coffee in the dark. Weirdest thing, brother. Weirdest shit, man. She sits in the dark with her coffee, just staring at the wall. And that's what she needs.
That's her form of meditation, maybe.
That's what she needs. Yeah, that's her form of meditation. That's what she needs. And then I'll come downstairs. Hey, baby, you okay? And then we start our day and then we talk, right? But we understand each other now. We've gotten to a point where we understand each other. We give each other what we need. One great book that really opened up for me and really changed my marriage, honestly, is The Five Love Languages. After I read that book, I understood, oh, that's my wife's primary love language. Oh, that's why I try to give her gifts and she doesn't mean shit to her. She doesn't care about gifts. And she would tell me, I don't care about us being rich. I just want you to be, spend more time with me and the kids. I'm a driver. So I want the best things for us. I'm a provider. I want the best things for my wife, for my kids, my family. So I'm constantly driving, right? And she didn't care for that. It wasn't that she didn't care for the nice things or wanting a nice house or nicer things. She just wanted to me to be, felt loved when I spent time with her, quality time with her.
So you've mentioned several times, do the work. And do the work means what you started out with. It's figuring out what those limiting beliefs are so they're not unconsciously controlling your life, right?
100%, brother.
And then you went on to say that if you don't focus on yourself in a relationship, you're no good for the relationship. And you said, that might sound selfish. I'm going to give a different viewpoint. I think it's selfish for individuals not to focus on themselves first, knowing, although many people don't know that, if you knew that the key to your relationship was to do the work and fix yourself, it would be selfish for you not to work on yourself. So if you're sitting here and you're listening to this and you're like, I wonder if my marriage could be better, or I wonder if I have to do the work, because if we were having this conversation 3 years ago, Martin, I'd have been like, dude, great for you doing the work, but I didn't have any work to do. Why was I wrong? So I've developed this, literally, it takes 3 minutes, it's 12 questions, it's a self-love quiz. If you're sitting there listening to this thinking, no, I got all my shit together, I'm good, take this self-love quiz and see, because this is exactly why I created this quiz, is to create awareness. Because as we said earlier, you can only change through awareness. And if you don't know you have a problem, if you're in jail, how do you get out of jail? You got to know you're in there first, right? If you don't think you're in prison, you're never going to get out. So go ahead, and if you want to go to bradchandler.com, take 2 minutes out of your life, 3 minutes out of your life for your family and relationship. Go to bradchandler.com/quiz, take the quiz and see where you stand in life. And if you don't have extreme self-love, do what Martin's suggesting, do the work. And what does do the work mean again? It means let's go uncover those hidden limiting beliefs that were programmed into almost every single one of us in childhood.
I totally agree with you, brother. I want to share one more story with you about that happened to me that I had a real big breakthrough. And I want to speak, this is for men, right? Because I'm a man, so I'm a married man, married to a female. So I can speak from our perspective as men. And I want to share this with men. A lot of young men get married, such as myself, okay? And we tend to lose our identity in our marriage. What does that mean, right? That means that, hey, we hear things like happy wife, happy life. I reject that for you and all of our listeners. That's bullshit, by the way. That's not something something I don't subscribe to. I used to as a young man. So one day I'm in my pool, right? I'm in my backyard. I'm in my pool there by myself. The kids were young. My kids were little. This was probably 2008, 9. And I'm in the pool. Rarely did I ever go in that pool by myself. But this day I was in the pool by myself. I used to always go in there with the kids and clown around and play around with the kids when the kids were small. This day I'm in the pool. My wife comes up. I remember it so clear, my friend. It was the beginning of a breakthrough for me. My wife comes to the pool and she tells me, you know, I have to tell you something. And I'm like, what's up, babe? She's like, I feel like I'm not happy. I'm like, why? She goes, I feel that every time I want something, you just want to please me. And I was so baffled by that statement. Like, it's everything I want. And I'm looking at her like she has three heads, right? Like, any woman in the world would want a man that wants to make her happy. But my definition of making her happy was just doing whatever she wants. So I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, if I say I want this, you say sure. We don't argue. We don't fight. But it's always about me. And it's always about you pleasing me. You don't have your own opinion. You don't have your own voice. You don't say what you want. And I was baffled by this, brother. I was taken back. I had a hard time dealing with this. But I learned something as a man there, that my wife was telling me she wanted me, in a way, I was in feminine energy. When you hear this thing of happy wife, happy life, that's not masculine, right? Not that you don't want to make your wife happy. And what she was really telling me is like, hey, I want a husband that has his own thoughts. I want a man that can tell me, no, I don't want to eat Chinese. And we talk about simple stuff. No, I don't want to eat Chinese today. I want to eat Italian food today. No, I don't want to do that because we can do that next week. I want to do this. I want to watch this movie instead, right? It was the little things. And I really started to look inside and started to do the work. Like, hey, she's right. And it was so hard for me, man. It was so hard for me to be true and authentic to myself, Brad, to start saying no, to start saying, you know what? You're right. I don't want to do that. You can go. I want to do this today. And I love you just the same, but this is what I want to do. Why don't we do this instead?
Yeah, that's what these limiting beliefs that we get programmed into us as a child, they take us out of our authenticity. They disconnect us. Did you have your voice taken away as a child, Martin?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think I was going away because I made a conscious effort that I wasn't going to be my dad. So my dad had 9 kids with 4 or 5 different women. And I had made a conscious effort as a young man that I was going to raise my kids with one place. And so seeing my dad, as children, we make 2 decisions, consciously or unconsciously. We want to be our parents. I'm going to be just like my parents, whether we do it consciously, or I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to be totally away. I made a conscious decision. I was not going to be my dad. I'm going to marry one woman, have my kids. But in that, I had no model for that. All I had was this happy wife, happy life bullshit, right? And my meaning, the meaning I gave to that was please my wife at all costs, right? At my happiness. So it was just meanings were meaning making machines. And it's just, I've been freed since then because I have since then been able to be who I truly am in my marriage. And my wife loves who I truly am in my marriage. And we can have discourse and we can disagree, and I'm free to disagree and she's free to disagree, and we're free to dislike things, to like different things and come back together, me in the middle, hey, let's do this. Or you know what, babe, we're going to do that today. Okay, you want to go watch ballet? Cool. But then next month, we're going to go watch a 76ers game or a Knicks game. Cool. So now we have our voice within the relationship, but we're best friends and we're just super tight, and we're the closest and the tightest we've ever been in our marriage today.
Love it. Yeah. Oftentimes when people try to please and they don't have a voice, it's because they got their voice taken away as a child. So anyway, yeah, happy life, happy wife, happy life. I've learned over the last 2.5 years, no one can make you happy and nor can you make anyone else happy. Happiness comes from within, and you've had everything you've ever need to have inside you all the time to be happy. You don't need any money, any woman, any man, any car, any boat, any job title, any promotion, nothing. It's all inside of you. So as we wrap up here, Martin, absolutely love this conversation. What are you doing now and how can people reach out to you?
So I'm doing a lot of real estate. I'm doing some training and coaching to aspiring investors. And so people can reach out to me. I'm on Instagram, probably where I'm the most active, the Elite Martin Perdomo, the Elite Strategist. You can also check out my YouTube channel, which is Martin Perdomo, the Strategist. I'm all over social media. If you just look me up, you'll Martin Perdomo will come up, the Elite Strategist. You can find me. If you just Google me, you'll find me.
You want to spell your last name for the listeners?
PERDOMO, the Elite Strategist, Martin Perdomo, PERDOMO, the Elite Strategist. You'll find me anywhere you go. You'll find me on the internet.
Well, if you guys enjoyed that show, I'd love to spread this word and help other people overcome their limiting beliefs. So please share it, rate it, review it, whatever you'd like to do. Martin, it's been a true pleasure. I really appreciate it. Super awesome show. And that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Remember, love does heal all.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.